To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Labor Radio of the Working Class, by the Working Class, for the Working Class. I'm Jamie Partridge, your host, and our guest this evening is Melissa Guzzi of UAW 2179, the Strand Bookstore Workers. Melissa, we're talking to you by phone from New York City, where the Strand Bookstore Workers are represented by UAW 2179, and you're in a struggle for your jobs. And we are connected with you because we have a mutual friend in New York City named Al Bradbury, who is currently the director of Labor Notes and formerly from Portland, a host on Labor Radio. In fact, the Labor Radio theme song, which we just heard, is an Al Bradbury original. So Al hears about this Strand bookstore battle in New York City and learns that the shop is owned by none other than Nancy Bass Wyden, the wife of Ron Wyden, the senior U.S. Senator from Oregon. So, in other words, your struggle, Melissa, is our struggle. So let's start with the shop. You have a union bookstore, and we have a union bookstore in our town, Powell's Bookstore, represented by the ILWU, Local 5. The family, Walter Powell, Michael Powell, and now his daughter, Emily Powell, has a reputation as independent progressive business people. This sounds similar to the Strand, a small family-owned business with a progressive reputation in an iconic part of the city's culture. So tell us about the Strand.
Strand's been around, I believe, 92 years. It was founded by Nancy's grandfather, Ben Bass. It was a small business on Book Row back in the day when there were lots of bookstores in the Lower East Side of Manhattan. It was on 4th Avenue, I believe. And of all the bookstores on Book Row, Strand is the last survivor 92 years later. We're located at the corner of 12th Street and Broadway in a beautiful landmark building, historical landmark, that is owned by Nancy Bass Wyden. So the Bass family owns the building. We have 4 floors of books. We have a basement nonfiction, main floor fiction, some nonfiction. I work in the art, photography, comics, and kids department on the 2nd floor, and sometimes work up in the 3rd floor rare book room, where we have some of the oldest books I've ever seen in my life, and I've been in books since I was 14. It's an amazing place. It's got a lot of history. We have 2 off-sites. We have the historical 59th Street and 5th Avenue, or 60th Street and 5th Avenue, Central Park kiosk, which has been around for ages. We have a semi-temporary, we're not quite sure if it's ever going to be around again at this point, kiosk in Times Square. We've had several off-sites, temporary in different markets. We do holiday markets, and we also have, as of this past Wednesday, a new brick-and-mortar location on the Upper West Side, which opened last Wednesday again. So that's our operation. We are, again, UAW Local 2179. We did not start out as UAW 2179. We actually began as District 65, I believe, if the history is correct. It was an old local that went under in the 90s, financially just went belly up, and we were amalgamated into the UAW. So our president and our treasurer actually came up through District 65. There's not much history out there about why we unionized or exactly how the whole thing went, because it was way before my time. I mean, pre-2000s, we're talking years ago. So, you know, the best we have is like one Jacobin article about that old union. So everything we know about District 65 has been handed down to us or is in that article. And District 65 was a very, diligent, very, militant, union that represented low income workers, mostly Hispanic. We are the least Hispanic shop in our local, but we are a majority Hispanic local. I'm very proud of that.
So 2179 is majority Latino, is that right?
Yes.
And represents besides the Strand bookstore workers, it represents what, retail or?
All are random. We are a very random local. We represent people that train service dogs, people that clean airports, people that do direct mail, represent AMC movie theaters. We get a kick out of how random we are because whenever we participate in UAW conferences, people are like, so sum up what your local is and go, yeah, we're random. It's weird. We're an umbrella that just, I can only say the overarching theme is low income, mostly Latino. That's the best I can say is a broad scope of what we are.
And how many workers are there at the Strand?
I think is the best way to put it right now.
Okay.
The best estimate we had before COVID was approximately 168. We're a very unique thing. Our locals are a unique thing, and the Strand bookstore itself is, a pretty unique thing too to be in this local. So, we're very grateful to be a part of 2179. It's a wonderful local.
Well, of course, New York City has a high union density. Tell us about what the issues, led you to step up to become a shop steward?
I'll start that by saying that my late mentor, Beth Young, who was a mother to me for a good portion of my adult life, she unfortunately passed from a recurrence of cancer a number of years ago, was a very active, very outspoken union member as a librarian, a math librarian for a college. And she was my first exposure to union politics and workers' rights fights in New York City back when I was 20, so that would have been 2004, 2005. And she taught me a lot of really important life lessons at that age and for many more years about when there's something missing from the structure of power and you're capable of filling that hole, then it's your duty to step up because your purpose in life is to help other people and to help lift other people up. And before meeting her, I was a very vehement activist as a teenager against the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. Freedom of speech. I've always been a very political person. My mother is a very politically outspoken person. My father voted for Nixon twice, but I love him anyway. very level-headed, extremely painfully intelligent mechanical engineer. So I had the passion and the reason instilled in me, and then Beth taught me how to use those tools. Mm-hmm. And so in 2017, a shop steward, I think it was 16 or 17, a shop steward's position opened up in my department. I've been with the Strand since September 2015, so almost 5 years. And I looked around and saw that there were no female shop stewards. And that wasn't an intentional thing. It just happened to be, at that time, no female shop stewards. So I was one of two women who ran for the position, and I ended up losing that election to another woman, which was, by the way, fantastic because the goal was met, a woman, but she ended up leaving us for management, and the position was vacated again.
Yeah.
And at that time it was vacated, we were starting to head into kind of a pre-contract negotiation organizing where the workers start getting really angry and begin holding meetings and begin organizing themselves, and then, we stepped in to harness that as we go into contract, and I began to volunteer. At first, I helped to run meetings, I helped to take the notes. I was very outspoken during that. I helped distribute the surveys and collect the data we needed for our contract. So because of all the work that I did in that prep work, when the election was held for that position, I ran on a post. And I was appointed by acclamation the shop steward for the second floor, the second shop steward. So as of right now, I'm not the only female shop steward. We have another female shop steward in the basement, Lauren, who's fantastic, but I wanted to be an example and show others that, hey, you can do this too.
How do you feel about the contract that you got?
It was actually our first ever amicable contract. It's never happened before.
First ever what?
Amicable contract.
Amicable.
We didn't even have to make a demonstration we didn't have to do it. We were able to settle the contract over the table between us. I was on the committee too. Us, who was then the general manager of the company, and the professional labor attorney sat down with us and we hashed it out, and the contract passed with a wide majority yes. Never happened before. Every contract fired was entirely contentious.
How long ago was that?
2018, summer, fall 2018.
2018, and here we are 2 years later.
Yeah.
Facing the COVID pandemic and the COVID depression, economic crash, and now it seems the owner, Nancy Bass Wyden, wife and essentially co-owner with Oregon Senator Ron Wyden, is using the payroll protection plan, a recent piece of pandemic-related legislation authored in part by Wyden himself, to pad their family fortune while illegally laying off their workforce. Tell us the story.
You said it. But, the application states that she received between $1 and $2 million, and at the end of the publicly available data on the loan states that she received between $1 and $2 million, and at the end it says jobs retained 212. There are not 212 jobs retained.
Mm-hmm.
Rumor has it, we've been told, it's an error. But how can you make an error that big? And if it is an error, where's the evidence that it is an error? We're not being provided anything. We don't even know who she actually, I believe, said to someone inquiring about this, you just talk to my people, the lawyers and the accountants, they do all that. Well, who are your lawyers and accountants? We don't even know. On top of the fact that she also either did not ask back or fired almost all of upper management. So all of the people who in our time here, all of us shop stewards' time here, who we traditionally do these things with, are all gone. So where do we even get the answers now if she's not going to give them to us? Because we didn't even know who to talk to. So that's where
she's communicating with you directly or through some
through the acting general manager.
Mm-hmm.
But anything from the attorney that we get is not signed with the name, so we don't even know who's writing it.
Oh. And so what has happened? They said that 212 jobs are retained. You say there are 168 members in your local
In our shop, anyway.
In your shop. So what has happened? What happened to all those people?
Well, when COVID hit, the store actually, did a wonderful thing and closed early because there was a rumor that a worker was told to self-quarantine. And so the then, now previous, assistant GM and GM closed the store down for cleaning and disinfecting. This is before Cuomo made any announcements of closing down the state. Eventually, over the course of the next week, we were on payroll for that week, and we were on payroll for a week and a half following that initial closure, and then the permanent closure by the state, temporary. And they said they were doing everything they could to figure out what to do with payroll in order to avoid layoffs. They communicated with us, the general manager did, very openly about, this is a PPP program, we're applying for it, we're going to see if we can get it so we can keep the payroll going if we don't want to lay anybody off. And we kept communicating, the way we should. And then on Monday, I believe it was Sunday, 22nd of March, or Monday the 23rd, we had a group phone call with the GM when he laid almost everybody off except for a very select few people. Almost everyone got laid off, management and union.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to KBOO Portland, Oregon, Labor Radio. Our guest is Melissa Guzzi of UAW 2179, representing the Strand Bookstore Workers Union.
And that's the way it was. We got laid off. It's not furloughed. Sometimes the press that's been looking into this stuff has said furloughed. It's not. They're laid off. They're not getting benefits. They're not paying dues. they're laid off. And since reopening, we reopened to the public in phase two on June 22nd, which we had a bit of a chuckle about because we said in an early on meeting when this began that we knew when reopening began that the government would give us like less than a week to prepare and scramble. And that's exactly what Cuomo did. Like de Blasio was saying that he wanted to wait till the beginning of July, and then Cuomo overrode him and said 22nd, and it became true. So we reopened to the public on June 22nd, and at that time, a number's up here, the company recalled over 30 workers, who are members of our local. By July 6th, 45 members have been recalled. On July 7th, Nancy personally laid off 12 of those workers. This happens within less than 24 hours of the GM's final day at our job. He had given his 2 weeks notice, and that was his last day, was the day prior. And the next morning, 12 of those recalled workers, only 2 weeks after being recalled, were again laid off.
What was the reason given, if any?
We're not making enough money.
Oh.
In store sales. But that's just in stores. In store sales aren't all of our profits. Like the foot traffic in the store was the justification for the layoff. And I want to paint a picture for the listeners right now. At that time, the city was still cooling off from the outbreak of chaos from the protests. I mean, you had all the good protests, and you had some of the bad stuff that happened. And 12th Street and Broadway, that Lower East Side area, was bashed to hell by looters. And everybody, we didn't get touched, but everywhere was boarded up. There were police gates layered up everywhere. There were police occupying the area. It was not a friendly place to come to when we reopened. And honestly, it wasn't the best time. We were allowed to reopen, but in a business sense, it wasn't a great time to reopen. But I can't comment on that officially. That's her business. But, you know, it was not safe, technically, to a lot of the public. Like, they didn't feel safe coming down. So, you know, we reopened at a really tricky time in a really tricky place. In a really tricky situation. Over time, the foot traffic has, in fact, increased. So, the reasoning...
So this loan, this payroll protection program, is supposed to keep everyone on salary, not laid off, but they were laid off and given no salary, no benefits, and so they would have been eligible for unemployment, but the company...
And most of our workforce is still on unemployment, too. So that's to be said. They're on unemployment. They're getting those benefits right now.
Right. And but the company, in order to get the loan forgiven, the company has to keep people on payroll. That's the point of getting the loan, but they didn't do that.
No, I mean, I believe you might know better than me, but we believe it's a 70-30 split. 30% to keep the money and 70% for it to be a grant. I believe, but I could be wrong. If you know better, please correct me.
No, I'm not sure. But so apparently there's been a lot of financial shenanigans on the part of Nancy Bass. Why?
Yeah.
Can you tell us about that?
You summed it up perfectly. We don't have any answers on what happened to that money. The question is, if it didn't go to payroll, then where did it go? And again, it's where I want to emphasize a number of things. One, we're not the only business that she owns. We're not the only LLC she has. She also owns the building. So unlike a lot of other business, like Emily Powell's business, I don't believe she owns most of the brick and mortar locations where her businesses are, for example. The main store is owned, that building's owned by Bass Realty LLC.
Yeah.
Right?
So,
Nancy
takes
the salary from the Strand, but also receives profit from other ventures that she has, also has done a very large stock buy during the shutdown of Amazon stocks and other stocks. If I pull up my fact sheet to quote correctly, she purchased between year-to-date for the calendar year 2020, I believe she purchased between $160,006 and $400,000 of stock, increasing an already robust portfolio.
Yes.
She also, indeed. I mean, they, the company, not her personally, but the company at one time did actually say the words that the Strand pays rent. Right?
Yeah.
How does the Strand pay rent to the person that owns the building? Now, the Strand bookstore pays rent to Bass Realty LLC, but both entities are owned by Nancy Beth Weiss.
Yeah.
So how is that?
Well, the Wyden family is certainly multimillionaires.
Yes.
Wyden family. And then they're going to their, but they're laying off workers. Your press release says these layoffs are an escalation of the Bass Wyden's longstanding pattern of wanton disregard for the physical, mental, and financial well-being of her employees.
I can enunciate on that. I'll give you one example, one current example. Before we returned to work, we had to sign off on a health and safety policy. That's a legally binding document right there. If you're going to return to work, you have to sign this thing, right? And we signed it before stepping foot back into the store. I found that document to be fully satisfactory in every regard in terms of protecting my health and safety at work.
Mm-hmm.
At this point in time, there aren't even enough physical bodies, management or union, to even enforce the mask-wearing policy that the state of New York requires because of the layoffs and the refusal to rehire. So my last hour of my shift today was spent with managers having to leave the floor entirely to go outside to bring the dollar book carts inside, which takes time in this kind of heat with a mask on. It takes, you could pass out doing something like that when it's 100% humidity outside or 80%, you know? It's a rough kind of hell we go through in summer here in New York. So I'm trying to find a manager to enforce the health and safety policy that they said managers would enforce, and I have people coming up to me in mass, like more than three-quarters of the customers in on my tour, not even wearing a mask as a chin strap or an earring, but not even wearing one at all because there's no one at the door to stop them from not wearing a mask.
Oh, my.
And that's all because of purposeful understaffing.
Yeah.
That's one example that's currently happening right now.
Dangerous. So what have you and your allies done in New York City and the labor movement to fight back, to get people back on payroll or to get the people back from layoff?
We're doing everything we can as stewards and as a local to document what's happening and work with the acting GM, who I want to preface all this by saying this is not a critique of the managers working in the store right now. It's a critique of what we're being forced to do from the top down, what they're being forced to do from the top down and how it's affecting us. We've been trying to work through proper channels to resolve the issues. And, you know, because most of that, not I would say at the beginning, most of the health and safety plan was not even in place when we reopened. And so we've been working with management to fix that, and we are actively fixing, buying more plexiglass and getting a head counter accurate because it's got glitches. And, you know, they're doing everything they can, but it's an insurmountable problem when there aren't enough people to solve the problem. There's too many problems.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've exhausted that. Yeah.
One action that was taken by the laid off workers, and sorry if I'm interrupting you, there's a little bit of a lag in the phone. The laid off workers, held a protest last Wednesday, during the opening of a new store location to call her out on everything. And so they protested in front of the store for 2 hours and got the word out there about what's happening on top of our press release. So those are the three things we're doing. Is we're doing everything that we're required to do legally to work this out with the company. Our laid-off comrades went and did what they did, and I'm very proud of them. The passion of the workforce strand is why I do what I do. And again, that they're not picketing, they're protesting. They're private citizens now. They're laid off. They can do whatever they want, but they're not breaking the law. And you know, and three, you know, reaching out to the press and seeing, you know, how do we get some help to fix this? Because come on. I mean, come on.
So what would you like us in Oregon, our listeners here in Oregon and around the world, because our radio show is picked up around the world on the web, to do, to help? What can we do to help?
Get the, I mean, if you can't fix things through proper channels, because that's what we're doing. We're doing the proper channels route. We need the people that hear this right now to step up and say, this is wrong. Not just for us as fans. I mean, we appreciate any help we can get from the public to put pressure on the owner and her husband to do the right thing and protect our health and safety and retire our comrades so we can be a functional business again, because we're not a functional business right now. But also for other people in the working class, because we're not the only workplace going through this right now. Not in every regard, everything we've talked about tonight, we're not the only ones. We are one of many workplaces going through the same thing. So please share, spread the word, talk about this. Let's engage in a national dialogue about how, once again, the ruling, the employer class has taken advantage of governmental bailouts to hurt the working class. Andrew Cuomo, on a daily basis for almost, I think about a week, I watched his brief, I mean, just for a sense of security, would watch his briefings every day during the shutdown just to get some sense of, like, where we're at. He would stand up there and say the words, any business who takes a PPP loan and lays off the workers will face consequences in New York State. He said that. Not verbatim, but he said that.
Yeah.
Back up, make him back up his words.
In Oregon, we can lean on our senator, Ron Wyden. We actually, you know,
we love Ron.
Should have a direct line to this guy.
We love Ron. He's always been a kind guy.
Well, but he's not doing the right thing by the Strand bookstore workers, and
I mean, that's like past tense, you know.
If I were to call his office right now, what should I say?
We need him over here right now. Although I would hesitate a little bit on that one, because Portland needs him more right now. The citizens of Portland need him. The citizens of Portland need him right now. So we don't want to take Ron away from what he needs to do. But at the very least, please send your people over here and help us. Because we're not just stuck between a rock and a hard place where there's no visible solution. She's shoving us between the rock and the hard place and holding us down. And we need help.
Basic message is get people back to work, bring the people in.
Yes, so we have enough bodies, that we have enough bodies in the store to not only fulfill, you know, the requirement of the loan, but to also just staff the place properly and not have managers doing work that managers really shouldn't be doing. And to, in everything. And, you know, they promised to get, you know, the vast majority of the workforce back to work, get them back to work. And also, by the way, let us know what the heck happened to that money, because no one's telling us.
Yeah. Well, before we close out, is there any last words that you'd like to leave with our listeners? Is there a way that they can keep people can be updated on the struggle? Is there a website or Facebook?
We don't have a one succinct outlet where we're having discussion about this. Just set a Google alert for Strand Bookstore on your newsfeed. Reach out to us. Strand Shop Stewards as one word, STRAND, Shop Stewards, STEWARDS @gmail.com to get a message out to us if you want to talk to us about what's going on. Speak out and not just fight for us, but fight for everyone that's going through this right now, because this is egregious on every level all the people going through this.
All right.
Keep the fight up. Don't lose faith.
Strand Bookstore Worker, Shop Steward, with UAW 2179. Thanks so much for your time and for being
Thank
with
you
us
so much for talking. Thank
All
you
right.
so much. You have a great night. Stay safe.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That wraps it up for this evening's Labor Radio, this Monday and every Monday from 6 to 6:30. Stay tuned for Prison Pipeline.